Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Yvonne Wassenaar to the broadcast. Yvonne is the Chief Information Officer of New Relic, a digital intelligence platform company. As CIO, Yvonne divides her focus between the company's growth strategy and development of the supporting unified technology and data platform. Yvonne joined New Relic to prepare the company for its IPO and subsequently has led key growth initiatives, contributing to an almost $2 billion valuation within 2 years. Prior to New Relic, Yvonne held multiple leadership positions at VMware. Yvonne serves on the board of directors for Bitium, where she advises the cloud-based identity platform provider on technology trends and go-to-market expansion opportunities. She also serves on the board of trustees for Harvey Mudd College and on the board of directors for the Athena Alliance, a nonprofit dedicated to the advancement of diversity in the boardroom. Yvonne holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in economics from UCLA and an MBA in strategy and operations from UCLA's Anderson School of Business. I recently caught up with Yvonne over the phone from San Francisco, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 2, infrastructure, as we discussed the importance of updating and differentiating business services in a quickly changing environment, and Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as Yvonne weighed in on the role of the CIO of the future and the importance of collaboration across the enterprise. We also covered the need to take risks, diversity in IT, the benefits of CIO participation on corporate boards, and a variety of other topics.
This is Peter High. Please consider reading my new book, Implementing World-Class IT Strategy, How IT Can Drive Organizational Innovation. The book covers topics such as the CIO as strategic facilitator, the development of IT missions, facilitating corporate and divisional strategy, the development of IT's own strategic plans, the development of enterprise architecture, reviewing, refreshing, and communicating strategy, and several other topics, all told with stories from leading CIOs from a variety of major corporations. You can find it at Amazon.com, my publisher's website, Wiley.com, and at your better bookstores. Thank you very much. Yvonne Wassenaar, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thanks, Peter. Great to be here.
Yeah, my pleasure. I thought we'd begin with your role. You have, for a little more than 2.5 years, been the Chief Information Officer of New Relic. New Relic is a software analytics company founded in 08. But I thought we'd just take a quick moment to have you describe the business in your own terms, as well as IT's and the CIO role in the organization.
Certainly. New Relic, as I like to think about it, is what I call a digital intelligence platform, which in this age of every business becoming a software business is super important. And what I mean by digital intelligence platform is, you know, for example, most people bank on their phone or maybe on their laptop, but less and less in the retail branch. So what becomes important is not how long the teller lines are, how warm the coffee is, but rather how quickly did the app load, how many people were trying to do what type of transaction, where are people spending their time. And what New Relic's technology does is allows a company insight into what people are doing with their software. And that's valuable from a developer operator perspective to create and design and run great software. And it's increasingly important from a business perspective so that we as business leaders can actually understand what people are doing. It's our new eyes into consumer behavior, allowing us more insight than we've ever had if we do it effectively. That's what New Relic does. Now, your question on my role as CIO is an interesting one because New Relic is a technology company and founded in 2008. We were quote unquote born in the cloud. So there's some question as to, well, why does New Relic even need a CIO? And I would say more and more you'll see trends where companies like Okta, DocuSign, and other similar companies born in the cloud have been adding a CIO role to the docket. And the reason is that as amazing as technology is, it doesn't quite run itself yet. The way that I look at my role within New Relic is to help the company take advantage of the technology that's available, both to run the business services of the company, things like sales and billing and so forth, and even more importantly, to get insights into customers and to better service those customers and to really ensure that we're providing the ultimate digitized customer experience. So my role is really founded on those two principles of ensuring that internally we can leverage the technology well, even though it's cloud-based, in a decentralized way, but with guide rails. And then externally, that we're bringing the best of our insights and technology to bear in partnering with the CTO and how we think about our product and how we think about what we develop and offer to customers.
It's interesting. You began the description with the curiosity that an organization like yours would have a CIO. Do you foresee a time, and if so, how soon, where the technology will, quote unquote, run itself to a degree where the CIO actually will become obsolete?
It's a fascinating question. And what I would say is, if we turn the clock back about 5-8 years ago, there was some belief that the CIO role might become extinct. And the reason is you had data centers in the cloud, you had these SaaS applications, you could credit card swipe your way to nirvana in technology. But I actually see right now a resurgence in the role of the CIO for two reasons. One is the way companies are structured today is they're structured in a very functional fashion. Because they're structured in a functional fashion, they tend to see things only from that one angle. And that works fine if you're doing a point solution or something that's working in isolation, but few things in a public company at that size and scale fit that mold. And so all of a sudden, technologies such as Salesforce, which may have been fine when they were a small company just supporting a sales organization, aren't just a SaaS application. They're a SaaS platform, and they impact across the value chain of the company. So first and foremost, you need somebody who has a horizontal viewpoint across functions that's geared towards end outcome. And the CIO is a perfect role for that. CIO, CTO, it's kind of a little bit of a mixed bag what each means. But you need somebody who has that cross-function visibility for these large applications and for these large investments in AWS and Azure and elsewhere. So that's the first reason why I think there's going to be, whether it's a CIO role or some other horizontal viewing role, that's going to be important. The second reason is there's a lot around good, just quote unquote, basic hygiene when it comes to running technology at scale. And there are certain principles that are important to think about, whether you're designing for velocity, for different use cases, for size and dispersion of transaction. All these different things factor into how you might want to structure your enterprise architecture. What I have found is that the basic functionality of a SaaS app or AWS is pretty easy to get your arms around. But as you augment and you build on it over the years, unless you have some understanding of how technology runs most effectively, you will start to create a lot of technical debt that you are, in some regards, blind to. And you may not necessarily understand and appreciate the investments and the value of things like staging environments and, you know, how you actually do agile development in a robust and quality and effective way. So I think both that horizontal viewpoint and that need to bring kind of a technological mindset to how you're architecting this ecosystem of solutions that's increasingly not just running your business, but serving your customers, is going to actually put increased focus on either what people call the CIO role, the CTO role, or the chief digitization role. Somebody's got to play that. And I think for the next easily 5 to 10 years, that role is only going to become more important.
You began the description of New Relic as a digital intelligence platform. Your organization, among other functions, has CIOs among its client set. I can only imagine, Yvonne, that you spend time with your peers as CIOs who are either potential or existing clients of New Relic. However, it's interesting, both digital, if I take, you know, two different aspects of the phrase used, digital as well as intelligence, is increasingly the domain of other organizations as well, either in concert with IT or in some cases actually superseding IT's involvement. And I'm curious, given your network, given your knowledge of the kinds of companies where the CIO leads the conversation on digital intelligence versus those where they are reacting to it. They may not even be in the room where the kind of meaty conversations are taking place. What differentiates the former versus the latter category in your mind?
It's a really important question that you ask, because as I go to the various CIO forums and as I talk to my peer set and, to your point, our customers at New Relic, I do think that there are some important distinctions between the CIOs who are going to increasingly be relevant in the future and important to the companies, and those that will really play a service role and in some regards fade off into the dark or retire. And to me, the difference is really along two spectrums. One is how they approach the challenge at hand or the opportunity at hand. And for those CIOs who understand that technology is now the basis to drive new revenue and new operating models and new customer experiences, and really embrace that, that is critically important. To truly embrace that actually requires that you have a different type of personality and mindset than successful CIOs of the past. What I mean by that is, historically, CIOs were incredibly risk adverse, and their job was to make sure that things ran and nothing bad happened. And therefore, their interest in testing out new things and failing at anything were not high. Additionally, they tended to be more focused internally versus externally. The CIOs of the future are going to be those who, personality-wise and kind of operating model-wise, are much more externally focused, much more willing to blend in the ability to take on risks, fail fast, use innovation in intelligent ways, not putting the business at risk, but testing out and stretching the boundaries. And they'll do that from a business mindset. They're going to do that from, how is this helping grow the business versus how is this helping make the business more efficient?
Very well said. I'm also curious, in a similar vein, though internally focused, a question here. In an organization like yours, where so many of your colleagues are tech savvy, I'm curious how you see IT differentiating itself. I know the many peers of yours that I've spoken with, the technology organizations, that is CIOs at those companies, they'll often joke that they're surrounded by people who believe they could do their job better than them, that the CIO job or the IT department job is the easy one compared to other engineering posts within the organization. And I'm curious, how do you see IT differentiating itself, creating value perhaps in a way that is different from your peers who operate in organizations where the primary IT, the primary technology function actually is IT and not the rest of the organization?
Certainly. So when I view my role and my organization's role at New Relic, our vision statement is to partner to drive New Relic's growth through frictionless, innovative technology and data solutions that delight our stakeholders, both internally and externally. So we have, from the get-go, an intent to really focus not on what we individually do, but what we do in conjunction and partnership with the broader stakeholders at New Relic. And I would say the value that we bring is slightly different depending which side of the house we're working with. What I mean by that is, on the product side of the house, with the engineers and the individuals who are building out the core New Relic product, the value that we bring is an understanding that how you engineer and design and the frequency with which you want to update and differentiate some of the business services of the company is different than some of the feature functionality of our offerings. And it's really interesting, because part of what I inherited from when I became CIO, and I'm the first CIO here, was some really, really great technology that ran parts of New Relic, but really was not differentiating for us. And so part of the value I brought is, how do you take that and actually move to third-party SaaS solutions where we can rely on the cloud, just like we tell our customers to get greater efficiency and agility in areas that are non-differentiating for us? And how do you bridge and integrate between those business services and our product and share the data and get real great insights? So that's what we focus on the product side of the house. On the other side of the house, more on our go-to-market and G&A functions, here's where we're really working more on, how do we have collaborative shared governance? How do we get from having finance run NetSuite and sales run Salesforce and marketing run Marketo to having a true partnership where collectively my organization is helping the business functions get agility and speed to market on the things that they want in a scalable, repeatable, secure, compliant way. And that requires, if you look like functions like price to bill or lead to opportunity, those types of things, you need integration across. So we're the great collaborators and we're the technical experts to help them in terms of getting the most out of the technology. So I'd say the rule differentiates depending which side of the house I'm working on. But collectively, our end goal is to ensure that we're partnering well to bring that frictionless, innovative nature of technology and data across everything we do.
That's great. I'm also curious, you have joined the boards of a couple of different organizations and have been on the boards of organizations for a number of years now. And I'm curious the rationale the organizations you've joined have used in bringing somebody with a technical background, which tends not, at least historically, to be as valuable a background to board level positions. How you see that thinking evolving, at least as represented in the relationships that you have had, and what you've also gotten out of your experiences and being parts of boards?
Certainly. I think more and more you're hearing people talk about technology in the boardroom, cybersecurity in the boardroom. If I look at my own experiences and what we're doing, first and foremost, if I take Harvey Mudd, to me, another topic that we're increasingly talking about is diversity in tech and leadership. I became engaged with Harvey Mudd and joined the Board of Trustees because Harvey Mudd has made incredible progress on moving the needle in an area where people said it was just too hard. And that's on increasing the number of women and diverse groups graduating from an elite STEM college with STEM degrees. And in fact, in about an 8-year period, they went from 12% of their student body, they're an all STEM college, 12% of their student body to in the mid to high 40s in females. And last year, they graduated more female computer science majors than male. And they've been able to do this really through a whole number of integrated and orchestrated elements. And I joined the board for two reasons. One, to take some of those learnings and apply them to tech, because clearly we are not as diverse and inclusive as we need to be in the tech space. And secondly, to bring back some of the learnings of how technology is reshaping the industry to the school so that they can be thinking about how they restructure their programs and education and experience to continue to graduate some of the most relevant students we have. So that was really the intent behind joining the board at Mudd, both in terms of the value that we get out of it at New Relic and more broadly, as well as the value that I can bring back to the school. The Bidium board and some of the other advisory work that I do in the board space falls into two categories. On one side, there's a lot of new tech startups, and they're really looking for people who can help them scale and diversify their business. And I've spent the vast majority of my 25 plus years in the technology space, helping companies like VMware, New Relic, and others scale and diversify. And so they look to me for that expertise, as well as many of them sell to CIOs and into CIO organizations. So they're looking for the voice of the buyer. On the bigger company side, there's a lot of companies that are realizing there's a huge digital transformation going on and they're not moving fast enough. And so increasingly, you're seeing companies who've been public for a couple of years to in the Fortune 100 recognizing that they need more technical expertise on their boards. And that technical expertise is to help ensure that they're pushing the needle in terms of not how to run the company with technology, but how to fundamentally transform and digitize their company in a secure way. So elements of cybersecurity and understanding of that space becomes important. Elements of understanding how to leverage technology to create new digital experiences and business models become important. And it's really more of that enablement and tie into where is the world of technology going that they want at that C level and board level.
And I'm curious, now having so many different points of view from the other companies that you're advising and organizations that you're advising, to say nothing of the company for which you are an executive, as you look to the future, say 2 or 3 years out, what are some trends that are particularly exciting you? What are some of the things that are beginning to make their way onto your strategic roadmap that team may be pushing forward in the not too distant future?
So I'm going to answer that question on two fronts. I mean, I think for most organizations, and certainly something that we're focused on at New Relic very heavily, one is ensuring that we're taking advantage of the cloud to the full extent, and that in doing so, that we're effectively leveraging data and BI, and we're feeding it back into our case, our product and our customer experiences. But that blend of using technologies to increase efficiency and then leverage the fruits of that effort into really driving business innovation is super important in terms of today's world. And as part of that, also this concept of fast innovation, how can we try and figure out and leverage in very protected ways new technologies to see if they can help accelerate that journey? So a lot we're doing in that space in general that in part is requiring us to change how we engage across the company, but also how we structure our teams, the type of talent we hire, how we make them productive and effective, how we create more diverse collaborative teams. So that's a lot of what we're focused on right now. But as I look out and say, okay, what becomes important 3 years down the line? One is we have to make sure that we're keeping our eyes on cybersecurity. There are more and more mobile devices out there. There's more and more cloud applications out there. There's more and more entry points. And so we need to ensure that we're not only protecting the perimeter, but that we're able to identify intrusions when they happen and act on them quickly. And that we're being very thoughtful around how we're protecting the various data that we have in our various systems so that we are secure and that we can deliver in this increasingly digitized world the type of experience that we're looking to do. So that's one of them. Second is in the whole, and it's a bit of a buzzword, you know, machine learning, AI, deep learning. But I will say we're very fortunate being an all cloud company ourselves. We have amazing understanding of how people leverage our software and technology, and we're able to integrate that with our business services and start to more effectively tell them what they need to know with our product, as well as understand what services and how we can best create a great customer experience for them. So we're continuing to invest in that space of machine learning, AI, deep learning to help enhance both our offering and our customer engagement. And then the final one that's really the edge of my radar, and we're not deeply investing in it from a New Relic perspective yet, but will be interesting to see how it develops, is really around blockchain and the concept of a distributed ledger. And how does that potentially help drive increased transparency and effectiveness and security as we think through models going forward? So I would say cybersecurity, the distributed ledger, and then the machine learning AI are probably the top three things as I look out into the future.
Great list. As I think about those topics and some of the others that we've discussed, it strikes me that in order to remain abreast of as complex a set of topics as these, in addition to the fact that the extraordinary importance that a CIO remain abreast of developments in each, what sort of ecosystem have you developed in terms of partners to help deliver some of what you've described, in terms of sources of information to make sure that you and your team have a clear understanding as to what the latest thinking is related to these topics? I'm curious how you've thought about that.
There is a lot to keep track of as the world evolves so quickly. And there's a few go-to places I have. One, I have the benefit of being in Silicon Valley. So I do a fair amount with the VC community in terms of not only seeing where they're investing, but meeting their portfolio companies and getting a sense of what are some of the new technologies coming out. Where have people who have spent a lot of time researching, where are they spending their money in hopes of returns, to kind of get a sense of what's out there in the next 3 to 5 years. The second tried and true place I go is my peer network. And I would say that there's probably more CIO events than there are days in a year, about tenfold. But you quickly figure out as a CIO, what is your kind of bird of a feather group? So I have my go-to set of CIOs, and we compare notes quite frequently in terms of different solutions, different ideas, different challenges that we're all working through together. So my go-to group tends to be CIOs who work in quote-unquote cloud-born companies so that we share a similar set of challenges that we can connect on. And then I would say really it's around, there's a few different places that I go on the web. There's such a wealth of information. And so I do look a lot at what the consultancies are coming out with McKinsey, Accenture, BCG. Those folks do a lot in terms of research on digitization and where the whole space is going. And I find those to be what I would say more objective than some of the vendor partners that I have. So that's where I get the information. On the ecosystem, I do feel increasingly the ecosystem's important. And I'm a big believer in having strategic partnership. And so you should be really clear on your pyramid of who you're working with. Who are you really betting big on in the next 3 to 5 years versus who's more transactional? I definitely create that distinction with who we work with here at New Relic. And then fundamentally, because nobody has a crystal ball, I'm a big believer in building out an integration platform that allows us to as simply as possible plug and play new different technologies as the landscape evolves, as well as building out this data BI platform that frees us from any tie to any given solution and allows us to be in control of our own destiny.
Great topics covered all around. Well, Yvonne Wassenaar, thank you so much for taking time with us on the forum on World Class IT. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun. Have a great day.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to Meta Strategies' 5 principles of World Class IT. The 5 principles are as follows. Principle 1 is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the 3 prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The 5th and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the 4th principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these 5 principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.